truly the best is yet to come. And I'm excited for this new season. And sometimes I'm always kind of like stopping and reflecting on where we've been, and kind of like I'm asking God, give me a little bit more direction. And it comes a little bit at a time. And I'm thankful for that. Sometimes if God opens up the whole thing and shows me the big picture, it might be a little bit too overwhelming. So I'm good that it comes a little spurt, a little glimpse each time. And that little glimpse is based on faithfulness. When you're faithful in the little times and the little things, in the little beginning, God gradually starts to open up and letting you see what he wants you to see. Amen. A new series we're going to begin today. It's called A Life of Stewardship. Stewardship has been on my heart for a long, long time. And maybe about like a couple of months, I've been kind of working on this and seeking God on direction on how. And stewardship is important in every aspect of our life. Okay? And what is stewardship? It's not a term that we use a lot, but it simply means the conducting, supervising, or managing of something entrusted in our care. Something that is entrusted in our care for us to manage. Time, talents, our family, our children, our finances, the relationships that God has brought into our life. Our health is something that we need to manage. We need to be a good steward of that. So stewardship covers a wide array of life. Stewardship. And the very first part of this message is going to be on giving. I know I've always cringed when it came to the time when I hear a pastor talk about giving and giving a bad teaching about giving. You get what I'm saying? There are so many bad teachings about giving out there. Up to the point that he's made the church move away from giving. Because the baseline of teaching that are bad, that are out there, is about giving money. Give to get. So much so that we've created a ditch that the church is experiencing now, where we've raised Christians that are totally against giving. Here's a stat that's going to be alarming to most of us. Only 10 to 25% in that range of the congregation would actually tithe. That's alarming when you think about giving. And if giving is all about money, okay? Remember, we're talking about stewardship. We talked about families, finances. We've talked about health. We're talking about everything. All of that is part of stewardship. But this morning, I'm going to focus on giving. Giving of everything. Giving of yourself. Giving of your time. Giving of your talent. Giving of everything that God has given to you and I. My hope is this. Through good and balanced teaching that is based on the Word of God, not on anybody else's teaching, but on the Word of God, that we can break this cycle. Because I believe it's a big cycle that it's in effect now within many churches where we want to give to get, give to get, give to get, give to get. And guess what? When I was preparing this message, and guess what my default was? Let's talk about give to get.
let's talk about sowing and reaping. Which is, there's nothing wrong with sowing and reaping, because this is an eternal principle that God has set into motion all the way back to Genesis. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. That has been my default all along. But this time, as I'm preparing this message, God was saying, I want you to do something new, something fresh, something that's going to come straight from my throne, that's going to change your life, that's going to change the life of the people who are going to hear this message. It's going to be based on the Word of God. So the very first scripture I want you to open to is Luke 6, 37-38. I guarantee you, most of you are very familiar with this scripture. It's used all the time, especially in time when we talk about giving. Let me reassure you that we are not going to be taking an offering. Okay, it's not about taking an offering. There's none of that's going to happen. You can hold on to your checkbook and, you know, put that away. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay. Not very long ago, somebody from the Kodiak Daily Mirror approached me and asked me a few questions about the style of our church, and asked me, how do we talk about giving? And I simply said, I knew where it was going with the question. It was talking about financial giving, like in terms of, do we pass a bucket, a plate, an offering plate? And I said, no, we don't. We don't do that. But yet again, God has been providing richly, above and beyond that what we can hope for. And it's like, how do you do it? I said, we just preach on the love of God. It is the love of God that if we preach the love of God, it compels us to give. It compels us to give. Like this award that we got from the chamber is a reflection of this. We don't give to get. We just give because we love to give. We love to give back. In fact, we got this from the Chamber of Commerce, and funny is that we were not even members. Isn't that crazy? We did not even have an active membership with the Chamber of Commerce when we got this. Now, how's that so? Somebody heard that we were nominated to receive this and decided, out of the goodness of their heart, to pay for our membership. Just because. It was not a giving to get. It was just a giving just because they want to give. There was no expectation. There was nothing. It was just because they thought we deserved that recognition, because we were givers to start with. So, here's my scripture. Luke 6, 37, 38, he says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and you will be given. It will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, do you see money anywhere in that scripture? Is there money in there? Is mention of the word money at all? No, not at all. The context here in that scripture is simply this: judgment, condemnation, and forgiveness. But it certainly applies in all areas of giving. simply because what you give, you get back. Give good things, and it will produce what? Good things. Give bad things, guess what it produces? Bad things. You sow judgment, you reap judgment. You sow condemnation, you reap condemnation. If you put a seed in the ground, do you get a seed back? No. What do you get back? A tree that produces seeds. So whatever you give, you'll get back more than what you put in. That is the law that God has set into motion. We can't break away from this. So giving is not always about money. Giving is everything. Everything. Let me make a statement that might shock a lot of us this morning. God does not need our money to advance his kingdom. Let me repeat it this side. I don't think you guys are. God does not need our money to advance his kingdom. God is not broke. The kingdom of heaven has never gone through a recession. God is not running out of gold for the streets in heaven. You know, they are paved in gold, right? So he's never running out of gold. So how could we think that God needs our money to advance the work that he wants to do? He's going to do it no matter what. Whether we give or we don't give. So why did God invent giving? Or created giving? Okay? Why did he come up with this thing about giving? If he doesn't need giving to advance anything that he wants to do. I believe he created giving for you and for me. It was created for you and I. It was never created for him. He's got it all. He owns the whole earth and the fullness of the earth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, including the diamonds, including the oil that is under the earth, and including every resources that the earth will produce belongs to God. So he's not experiencing lack in his kingdom. So giving was created, if I may use that word, was created for you and for me. And I believe that giving is a principle that God wants to teach the body of Christ. It's giving to give, because giving is all about the heart. All about the heart. Here's the scripture. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. That is the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the most quoted scripture in the whole world. So, how often do we preach on giving in this church? All the time. Because everything that we do, as we say, in this community hinges on that scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only Son. God gave because his heart was set on his treasure. He gave because his heart was set on his treasure. Do you want to know what the treasure of God is? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your family. Look at your brothers and sisters. God gave because His treasure is right here. He gave because of you and me. When He gave His life, He saw your face, He saw your face, and He saw my face. He gave. So everything that we do hinges on that scripture. The very basis of giving is the heart of God. He loved us so much that He gave. So God is a giver. And He wants you and I to be givers like He is a giver. Now we're not talking about money here. We're talking about giving of everything. He wants to be first in everything. How about raising your kids? Can God be first in that?
Yes.
How about taking care of your family? Can God be first in that? What about taking care of your health? Can God be in charge of that? Absolutely. He wants to be first in everything. He wants you to give it all to Him. Unto Jesus I surrender. Unto Him I give it all. Right? Is that the song that we sing? I give it all. That's what He wants. He wants all of it. So how do we develop this giving heart? Because He's after a giving heart. So how do we develop this giving heart? Deuteronomy 15. If you can turn to that. Deuteronomy 15. Now, I've read this scripture so many times. Have you ever read a scripture and then you conveniently go to the part that you think is more applicable to you and you forget pretty much everything else that God is saying? I've done that, okay? I'm confessing right now. My default was chapter 15, verse 10. And verse 10 talks about, you don't have to turn to it, but it pretty much talks about God will bless the works of our hands. And everything that we set our hands to do will actually prosper. I've always defaulted to that. But I forgot all the other script, all the other verses before that. And this is what it talks about. Again, this is talking about the heart of giving. And the first part is this. How do we develop the heart, the giving heart? The number one is respond to need with your heart. Respond to need with heart. Not with pressure. Not with emotion. But with your heart. This scripture is talking about a man, a poor man. He says, if there is any among you, a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. The very first thing that God wants us to recognize is that the land that you have, He gave it to you. He says the Lord is giving you your land. It's yours, but God gave it to you. He says that's the first thing you need to recognize, is to recognize that what you have, He gave to you. And then you respond to a person's need with what? A willing heart. A willing heart. A heart that is not, that is shaped, that is tender, that is geared towards hearing the voice of God. Not based on manipulation, but based on hearing God's heart.
He's talking about motive. What is the motive behind the giving? Are you giving so that you can get something in return? Or are you just giving because you love to give? If you recognize that the land belongs to God to start with, and God is telling you, I want you to take care of this person's need because this person is poor and cannot handle the needs, and your response is you're responding to the need with your heart, not with a motive. Because if the motive is wrong, guess what you would want to do? You would want to ask yourself, what can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? If I do, go ahead and sow this much to whatever that need might be. What am I going to get out of this? Am I going to be recognized? Am I going to be taking care of a nice little picture with some other people that are very influential and they say, oh, look at that, it's great that he's done that. This is a great recognition. I don't want to put this like it's not, like it's, I don't want to diminish the value of it. But the reason why our church gave was not because of that. We gave because we love to give. The intent, the motive behind it was the heart of God. And that is the heart that God wants you and I to have when it comes to giving. If God can get our heart in the right place with the right motive, there is no stopping. There is no stopping what he can accomplish through you and I. Because we're not hoarders. We want to give. Everything that you see here, instruments, all these things there were given to us by givers that were not expecting anything in return. They were just given to us. Like this soundboard here, we just got that maybe about a couple of months ago, and was just given to us. It was just given. The one before that was given to us as well. This laptop was given to us. Everything that you see here, this pulpit was given by a church in Alabama. I can go around things that we have as a church that was provided for by somebody who saw a need in the land, recognizing that it was not theirs to start with. And said, you have a need, we got it. That is the heart of God. That is the heart behind giving. If we can get this, we can move mountains. I'm not talking about just as a church. I'm talking about personally in your own life. There's going to be a breakthrough. You're going to feel the pressure coming in. The pressure is not for you to quit. To give up, to hold back, and to hoard. The pressure is for you to actually let go and say, Lord, have it all. I don't want to keep anything if it means it's going to hold me back in this season. I'd rather release it and let it go because I'm expecting that breakthrough that you have for me. That is the heart behind the giving. That is the heart. Behind what God wants to teach us is to respond to need with heart. With heart. Not with motive. Because sometimes the motive can be misplaced. A lot of times people will call and say, we got this need. And I'm not able to pay my rent. I'm always going back to God. How do you want me to respond to this need? A lot of times I've responded in terms of how much do you need. A lot of times I've responded, you need this, but this is what God wants you to have. It's not the finances, it's a job. It's a way to get to what you need.
But you have to respond to the heart of God first to recognize how do you respond to that person's need. Same at home. When my kids will come and tell me, Dad, I need this. And my response would be, never, we don't have enough. We can't afford this. Because there's a lot of things that we can't afford. I'll never respond to that. I would say, I'll never respond to it in that way, that we don't have. I said, what do you need? Let's pray about it. And if that is something that we need to have in our family, or you need to have, or to do whatever you need to do, God will make a way. That is the best way we can teach. So it's me teaching him the heart of God. Because I'm teaching him or her that God is not broke. God is not broke. When we have a need, he will make sure that we are provided for. Just like we have a need for this church. We are growing this church big time. We have a need. We're looking. We're doing our part. And we say, Lord, would you respond? Would you respond to our need? And his heart is a giver. His heart is all about, I want to make sure that you have above and beyond what you are asking for right now. Because sometimes we ask God for stuff, for things that we don't even know. What do we need? When do we need it? What is the right time, Lord, for us to receive this? I always talk about, do we get a building now? Are we ready for it? Are we ready for it? Sometimes asking God and putting God in a box and saying, no, 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 I want it right now. Not always a good thing. What if God releases something right now and say, here, you've asked and here you are. That thing that we asked God and God has released in our heart and right now in our laps can actually destroy us. So there's always a right time when God releases something. Same for us. When we develop that heart of a giver, we would always respond with heart first. With heart first. With the right motive. Second thing, how do we develop a giving heart is this. Deal with a selfish heart. Deal with a selfish heart. Verse 9 says this. Beware lest be a wicked thought in your heart. Saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin amongst you. Selfishness comes to our heart through a wicked thought. And that wicked thought becomes a sin. Here in that scripture is talking about the year of Jubilee. The seventh year is basically the year where all debts are forgiven. That's an amazing. Can we come back here in the United States? Yeah. On the seventh year, everything that you have debt on is erased, forgiven. I would say, yeah, I'll vote on that one. If anybody's running to become the next president, you know, they'll get my vote if we can actually forgive all loans on the seventh year. So this scripture is talking about what if somebody who has a need among you that comes and approaches you on the sixth year, 9 months. There's 3 more months before, you know, that cycle kicks in and then everything is forgiven. What if your heart is thinking about there's only 3 more months, that guy will never be able to pay me back. If he doesn't pay me back, and guess what? Everything is going to be gone. So the motive there could be wrong. Right? Wouldn't you think so? The motive could be absolutely wrong. Because you're thinking, what am I going to get in return? So a wicked thought will come into your heart and will say, hold back. Don't give. Don't give. Like right now when we're in the middle of building campaign in order to find our own place. Guess what the thought might be?
Let's give as much as we can. Let's not give. Because if we give, how about us? Who's going to take care of us if we don't take care of ourselves? Right? That would be a thought that we can have. But that would be a wicked thought that can come into our heart and hold back God's blessing. Just give. Forget about the year of Jubilee. Just give because your heart is in the right place. Because you love to give. So that's how we give in this church. We just give because we want to give. We want to give to people in need. We've totaled up. I can't remember the last church meeting we had in terms of numbers. I think it's a little over $12,000 that we've given outside of us. So you would think about $12,000, that could actually go in and, you know, sit in the bank somewhere. But we can't. We can't just stop there. There is much, much more that we want to give out of this church. Everything that comes in terms of tithe, I just want to share this out there. 10% of that we give out. Automatically. Without thinking. That is just the baseline of our giving as a church. And then we build from there. Responding to needs of the community. We start with 10 and then we build from there on. Recognize, number one, that everything that you've been given, the land was given to you by God. Your motive is not to get anything in return. You want to give just because you want to give. Selfishness will come with that wicked thought. It will come like that. If you got kids, you will know what I'm going to say. At a very young age, what do we do when we train our kids? What do we tell them to do in the playground, in the nursery? Share whatever you're playing with. Because selfishness, it's already built in. We were born with that. It's mine. I want to play with that. I want to have this. When Micah is running around, he's 3 years old, he's running around and he's playing. I watch him and observe him. He's playing with this. And you see somebody else is coming to play with that. Oh, I was playing with that. And then the other boy will go and play with something else. And he runs with that. I was playing with that too. They are born with this. We are born with this type of nature. We are selfish at heart. It is something that we must deal with. The same way that we're training our kids to deal with selfishness. To change their heart from selfishness to generosity. God is doing the same with you and I. He's training his children not to be selfish. To think about others. To think about needs. And how to respond with the right heart. That is what God is teaching you and I. A marriage can never be successful without giving. Without giving. You will never succeed if you don't give. It will be a marriage that will be stifled. A marriage is based off of giving. Each other giving and giving and giving and giving. Same in a family unit. It's all about giving. I spend most of my time training my kids on how to give. Give love. Give time, give attention to each other. Even last night, I spent a lot of time talking about treat the other person right. Give them love. Give them time. Don't be so rash. Don't be so selfish. It's always like that. We are training our children to do this, to change that heart, to change that thinking. Guess what? God is doing the same thing with you and I. We are being trained day by day to deal with this selfish heart. And then finally is this. Deal with a grieving heart. In verse 10 it says,
you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all which you put your hand to.
This is my favorite scripture. This is the part that I've memorized, that I've defaulted to each and every time when I've read Deuteronomy 15. I love that scripture. But remember, I forgot the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And I went to the 10th directly. Because I love the fact that God will bless all of my works. Everything that I set my hands to do, He will prosper. He will bless. But I forgot about the first part of it. It says, give to Him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to Him.
If you give to God with the right heart, God will bless everything that you do. Everything. I hope this is a freeing statement to you this morning. If you give to God everything, you can say, God, you can have it. You can have it all. And you give with the right heart, God will bless absolutely everything that you set your hands to do.
I shared that story many times. But for those that are new, that have never heard this story, I'm going to tell you. A while back, I worked in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And there was a situation there where the school that I worked for was being fined by a government agency about 12.7 millions, 12 point something millions. So I'm recording this, so I make sure I don't say names, because there's lawsuits and all kinds of stuff attached to this thing. So anyway, we were audited. And we were asked to pay that money back. I mean, it was a tough time for that school because we were not able to pay this back. We were struggling to make payroll from month to month. Okay? So here was a new guy that became in charge of this area, that department. And I'm sitting on this mess. I'm like, Lord, my hands are clean. I have nothing to do with this thing. I'm just sitting on this mess. And I'm like, Lord, give me this clean heart, clean hands, so that I may handle this. I remember having a big meeting with all the other, my staff, and I explained that. Clean hands, clean hearts. That's going to be the requirement to take care of this mess. Clean hands, clean hearts. And that was the stand that we built from in order to get out of that troubled time. And because of the clean hands and clean hearts that the Department of Education saw, you know what they did? They erased that lawn for good. We experienced the year of Jubilee as a school in that season, where it was absolutely impossible to get out of this mess. They were talking about closing down, letting everybody go. I mean, it made the paper. I mean, it was a big, big mess. But we came out. Because clean hands, clean hearts, opens the door for God to pour out His blessing. So the heart behind the giving is absolutely, absolutely necessary. That's what I told the staff. You got to give it all. Clean hands, clean hearts. And that's just the job done. And God did it. God saw the effort that we put into place, and He took over. And that scripture became relevant in our lives. That everything that you will set your hand to do, I will bless. Selfishness will attack us before we give. Grief will come and attack us after we give.
Have you ever given something, whatever it might be? It might be a couch, a TV, or whatever it is. And then after you've given that couch or that TV, your own TV breaks down. Happened to us right before we bought this house there. We had a couch, and it's like a sectional couch like this, and we give it away. And then the one and only little cedar that we had broke. And for a while, we sat on the floor. We had we put like blankets on the floor in the living room, and that was only chairs. And the kids were like, "What happened? What happened to the thing?" I'm like, "Then guess what? Because their heart is selfish, guess what they said? Why did we give our couch away? Why did we give our couch away?" And I was like, "Because we felt that was the right thing to do. We gave, and the default was to grieve." And I was like, "Now's not the time to grieve, kids. It's time to rejoice. We're having a party right here on the floor. How about just sitting there? We're going to sit down. We're going to relax. And we're going to watch TV just laying flat on the floor." I made it fun. I found the way to kind of connect with kids. Guess what? God does the same way with you and I. He's trying to teach us to give and not grieve the giving. Not grieve at all. Guess what? When we bought the house, the seller gave us a sectional couch. Now we have an extra set of sectional couch that nobody sits on, but it's there. When we gave, we were not expecting anything in return. But we made sure that grieving heart was not there. That couch that we gave away, who knows what happened to the couch? We don't even know the people. We were not expecting anything in return. But yet again, because we gave, God made sure that we have above and beyond. That is the heart behind giving, that God is always training us, as I'm training my own kids. That was a perfect example for me of training them on how not to grieve. "Daddy, why did you give them? Now we're sitting on the floor." Well, no. It's so much joy sitting on this floor and eating and watching a TV show right there on the floor. So as I'm preaching now, I'm thinking about something. I want to take my family out to lunch right after service. I'm thinking about this. Okay, this is a thought that I'm getting right now after service. I want to take my family out for lunch. But guess what? I have no cash. I have no money. But I do want to take my family out to lunch after service. What?
I just happen to have an extra
couple bucks. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. $100. I can certainly have a good lunch. Right? Right after service. I can go and eat good. Not just me and my family, right? Now, why did John respond so quickly to my plea? John, did you grieve when you gave me this?
No.
Did you grieve, or are you kind of feeling a little sad right there? You know why John is not grieving by giving me $100 right now? You want to know why? Because before service, I gave him that $100. I gave him this $100 and I told him this is what was going to happen. You know the reason why we truly grieve after we've given to God? Because we thought it was ours to start with. I really hope you catch this.
That's going to free you in all areas of your life. Because you thought it was yours to start with. Everything that you have, the very clothes that are on your back, they were given to you by God. The couch that you're sitting on at home was given to you by God. The children that you have was given to you by God. When you change this heart, this mindset of that you don't own anything, you will never believe when you give. You will never look back and say, huh, I wish I kept that for myself. I wish I kept that couch for an extra couple of months. But that was a teaching thing for me and my kids to learn how not to grieve when you give. Why don't you just jump to your feet? Yeah, jump to your feet. Because this is an exciting time. It's an exciting time for this. Because your breakthrough in all areas of your life, including financial breakthrough, is here now. No longer would you have a spirit of lack over you. No longer would you grieve when you've given to God. But your heart will be changed to a heart that is full of gratitude. Because you would say, Lord, I just love to give. I would give out of myself. I would give my time. I would give my talent. I will give you my whole family. Change my heart. Change the way that I think. Change my attitude towards giving. I believe the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. He's ministering to you right now. And you would know in what area of giving that you need to give. Again, giving is not about finance. It's not only about that. I believe with the right type of believing, the right type of teaching, you will experience the breakthrough. My challenge to you is this. Take what you've heard and apply it this week in your own life. Nobody needs to know what God has spoken to you quietly. In your own area, right there where you are. Nobody needs to know. But you would know. You would know. And God will put you in situation where you're going to be challenged on those three things. How to respond to need. How to deal with a selfish heart. And how to deal with a grieving heart. I believe you're going to have somebody who's going to... You're going to see the need for a couch. You're going to meet somebody who's going to have a need, I don't know, for a new cell phone. It's funny how God brings those people in your life, how you come across those people as you walk down the aisle at Walmart, and then all of a sudden you hear somebody saying, oh, you know what, we can't do this. Or you're getting ready to check out at Safeway, there's somebody who's asking the cashier to take a few things out because they don't have. Your response is, I got it, don't worry, just put everything back in that. When you respond to need,
because you want to give, at that moment, God's opened up a door. The Word of God says He opens up a window in heaven. And if you can close your eyes and imagine this window that's just right there, right above you. And the Word says that He will pour out a blessing in many ways, many forms, that He'll come to you, that you will not have room enough to contain it. Don't you want that type of blessing over your life? That you don't have enough room to receive it? It's so big, so much. It's an overflowing, abundant, beyond what you've asked, that you've expected God to do. All of a sudden, instead of you've given away one couch and you've come home and there's two of them brand new waiting on you. It's not the giving to get. It's just giving because you love to give. When you give out of yourself, God cannot help but bless you. Maybe not in your time. Maybe in not the time frame that you're expecting Him to do it. It's always in His time when that seed will go and multiply and bring forth a harvest that you do not have room enough to receive. Let's just pray. Father God, we give You praise and we give You glory. We thank You, Lord God, that breakthrough is coming in our lives right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Good word.
Yeah.
Good word. Good word, Jesus. I'm glad I was responsible with what God gave me. I've shied away from this word for a long, long time. And I believe it's a breakthrough in my own personal life. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. We'll see you again next week. Same time, same place.
Thank you.
You were gonna get it back. Oh, you were gonna. Hey.